Our next speaker is going to be Sister Ina Mae Best, but before she speaks, I just want to say very briefly that I've had the pleasure of going around with her to most of the speaking engagements, and it's been amazing in terms of the solidarity and the support of the workers here in the city, particularly considering the fact that workers in this city are under severe attacks themselves. With the impending budget cuts, with the companies that are just waging all-out war, whether they're private nonprofit companies or large industrial companies, that they're just taking back all the gains. So we cannot rest on our laurels in terms of taking for granted all the gains that we've made over the years and the decades, because they are steadily organizing to take it back. But in the midst of all that, the workers have been amazing in terms of their support. They've given money, they've taken flyers and duplicated them and petitions all over the place. Brother Sam had to speak to some young brothers and sisters from the working class, 17 to 30 years old, I consider them young too. And a young brother sat after listening to Ina Mae Best and wrote a 3-page rap and informed another brother sitting next, a white brother sitting next to her, because he was saying, you came all the way here from North Carolina just to talk to us? He says, no, he came up here to fight for her job. So he understood, and this was a brother that the teachers had problems with in terms of responding to their teaching methods. But this brother was intelligent, and he just needed to hear something that related to him. And so, I mean, and I think that that's what the workers needed to hear, you know, because it's been, I mean, it's really, sometimes you get a little demoralized, you know, when you've been in the struggle for over, what, a quarter of a century now? Because, you know, we were kind of in a lull, but I think we're coming out of that lull, and I think Sister Ina Mae Best has helped spark that, so I'd like to introduce her.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. You know, it gives me a great pleasure, you know, to stand before y'all and just give y'all a little example of what I have went through, you know, down south. You know, sometimes, you know, we feel as though make no difference what position we have, you know, in our job, we are secure. And me, you know, I felt that way because, you know, I had been on my job for 18 years and, you know, I never had any problem, and I felt as though, you know, that I worked 2 more years and I'd be able to retire. But, you know, down south, it doesn't make no difference how long you have worked on a job. Whenever they get ready to fire you, they'll do that. You know, and where I worked at a textile plant that printed in the beautiful designs like the young lady have on there. And, you know, I worked in the inspection department. We was the last one to, you know, to handle the material, you know, before it went out to the customers. You know, and I put all my heart in my job because I love my job. And it really hurt me when they, you know, told me that even after the union drive that, you know, I wasn't performing, because I knew that I did my job. There wasn't no doubt about that. And, you know, and I was thinking about it after they, you know, told me that I was fired. You know, all the things just started just, you know, going through my mind. You know, all the time that I had spent on that job. You know, I would go in the morning, I was never late. I could tell you what you had on, where you parked, what time you come in. And, you know, that was my routine. I don't never like to be late. If I'm going somewhere, I want to leave before time so I can be there before time. And you see, that's where I was about my job. And even after we came off on our tour, because before we went on our tour, they worked us so hard. You know, sometimes, you know, when we get, just before we get ready to go on vacation, they work us mighty hard. And in July, sometime I worked 16 and 17 hours because the customer, you know, would demand, you know, their product before, you know, vacation time. And just me and a couple more girls, you know, ladies would, you know, stay over, me mostly, and the supervisor and the lady that run the floor. And because the rest of them said, no, I'm not staying over, because most of them had kids. And I would stay, and when we went on the tour, I was so tired. And you know, most of the time when the rest of them would get off the go and eat and do, I was so tired I would just sit there. And when we came back, we still started the same routine. Because they told us, you know, when we got back off vacation, you know, things would change and the pace would slow down, but it was still the same. And where I worked at, it was about the size of this room here. And we had 10 machines. And in the summertime, it would be so hot. Because the machines that we were running, but we had fans, but the fans weren't doing them, just blow hot air back on you. And in the other apartment, they had about 10 or 15 machines. And in between all those machines, they had this one big machine. And it would have to get about 650 degrees before they would let the material go through, because it was a machine that sets the designs in the material. And that would make it just hotter. And sometimes after I work all day, and I was staying all day, I'll be so tired. And when we get off my machine, because through a run of a day, we didn't have but three breaks, two 10-minute breaks and a 20-minute break for lunch. And I'll be so tired when I got off work until when we get to the car, you just have to sit there and just get your mind functioning, your body. And when I get home, I would drive in the driveway, and I would sit there about 5 minutes. Because after some time, I know my neighbors thought I was losing my mind. But I'd be so tired until I just had to sit there and just get myself together. And sometimes when I get ready to get out of my car, I said, all right, legs, it's time for you to you know, I'll be just that, you know, just that going on, because I would sweat so. You have to take a towel. And sometimes it would be too wet, you know, where you sweat and you're trying to work and trying to, you know, wipe sweat. And sometimes you could look down on your arms and you could see the salt that's supposed to stay in your body, you know, on the top of your skin. And that would, I could tell that I was losing the salt that I was supposed to keep in. And when I get home, I says, I thank the Lord, because all my kids were grown, because it would take so much of my time away from them by me, you know, being so, you know, exhausted. And I would just lay down and I just, you know, for about 5 minutes, and seemed like that would kind of me. And then I would get these, sometimes just before like Easter, we would have to, one week, we worked 6 months, 7 days a week, and we didn't have no days off. And when Easter come, you'd be so tired until you didn't even know when it was Easter or not. And after we come off on our vacation, my supervisor, you know, called me, and he says, I went into work about 7 o'clock, so the essence are coming in early. And he walked up to me, he says, they want to speak to you in personnel. And when he said that, it really dawned on me. I says, you gonna fire me today, huh? But I, you know, there's something was letting me know that some way they was trying to cook up something, you know, to try to pretend that I wasn't doing my work. It just stayed with me. He said, well, I'm not going to tell you. You just wait for personnel. And so we went on to personnel. And so they asked him, you know, says, you explain it to Anna, you know, why you got to let her go. He didn't say us. He said you. And so he couldn't look me straight in the face and tell me. He talked to the flow the whole while he was explaining to me, you know, why, you know, they had to let me go. And so they asked me, he said, well, Anna says, is there anything that you got to say? I said, well, you, Nick, and nobody else is not going to tell me I didn't do my job. I said, I knew my job and I did my job. I said, just as the other ladies, I said, if they had bad work, it was going to slow them down. I said, and that was, you know, my case. And so I think that was, but by me not, you know, really, you know, they was looking for me to just really just raise a whole lot of sand, because they knew they were doing me wrong, and that's what they was looking for. And he said, well, now, we don't want a whole lot of argument. I said, well, I'm not arguing. I said, you asked me a question, and I gave you an answer. And I think he had a tape recorder trying to tape, you know, this, so they could have something, you know, to really say that they fired me off of. And so where we work out, we had a this just about this size, and we kept all our personal belongings in it. And so I asked him, I said, well, can I go back out, you know, and get my little stuff that I left? He said, no. He said, you're not working at GoTex anymore. I said, well, okay. I said, if that's the way you feel about it, I said, those little things that I got in the drawer, I said, you can have them. And so when I went back, you know, to get pick up my check, because after you work to the places so long, you especially GoTex, I had worked there 18 years, and we have 3 weeks vacation. So we had taken the 1 week, you know, the July the 4th, you know, for that week. And I said, well, will I be able to get my other 2 weeks? They said, no, so you haven't worked up to it. Now, 18 years, and I hadn't worked up to, you know, 3 weeks vacation. I said, no problem. I said, I'm not going to talk about that. And so, you know, and really, after all that, it really hadn't dawned on me. You know, because I kept going. After they told me, you know, that they would fire me and everything, I just kept going. I tried to, you know, push it off. And I got home and I sit down, and all of it just come back to me. And it just dawned on me, you know, what they really had done. And just seemed like something just stirred up in me. Because me and another one of the ladies have always, you know, me and her have been there just about, I had been there 18 years and she had been there 17. And I told her, I said, if GoTex ever make up in their mind to let me go, I said, this is be one lady that it won't forget. Yeah. I said, because I'm not going to let it drop. I said, if they do, they're gonna wish they had never heard the name Anna. And you know, and it have just, you know, it have really, you know, how since I have been here this past week, you know, I have learned so much. Because of the different unions that, you know, have, you know, been around, you know, and this, even this morning that we had we went to this school and they was, you know, putting up their proposal for the contract. And it was really interesting. And I says, you know, if we in North Carolina would be even able to be able to put up proposals, you know, for the renewing their contract, I said that would be great, because it's so hard, you know, to get unionized, you know, people to come down and unionize the side. And that is one of our goals, you know, is to really see not just GoTex, but all the workplaces down south come down, you know, and just help us, you know, to organize the South, because the South needs it. And you know, it's just been a pleasure, you know, just to stand before y'all, just give you just an example of what, you know, went on at GoTex. And I thank you.